Hi there, this is Kevin Skinner, pastor at First Baptist Church in Stockdale, Texas, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. If you live in the Stockdale area, then I would invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. to worship with us in person. You can also check out our webpage at fbcstockdale.org. Here at First Baptist, we are a community church with a kingdom mission, and we invite you to join us on that mission. So I don't know about you, but we order a lot of things off of Amazon. And sometimes when those things arrive, they don't look quite like they did in the picture because they have to be put together first in order for them to look like the picture. But have you ever ordered something that when it arrived, not only did you realize that it had to be put together, but it didn't come with any instructions to help you? This happened to us just before Thanksgiving. Emily had ordered something for her cousin, and when it arrived, not only did we discover that it had to be put together, but there were absolutely no instructions on the inside. There wasn't even a picture to go along with it to give us a frame of reference of how it should be put together, and so it was kind of overwhelming. I just kind of had to guess and figure it out along the way. You know, I think, unfortunately, this can happen in church life at times as well. If you are newer to attending church, or if you're newer to following Christ, I get it. It can be overwhelming at times, especially as you think about and maybe even wonder, what's next for me? Where do I go from here? So 2 weeks ago, just before Disciple Now weekend, we launched into this new series titled Next Steps, and I want you to hear my heart in this series. My desire is to hopefully provide for you some very clear instructions to help you not only recognize where you are in your walk with Christ, whether you're a new believer, a seasoned believer, or maybe even an unbeliever, you're just visiting here today. My desire is to help you not only recognize where you are in your walk with the Lord, but also to make clear what those next steps for you are, so that as you recognize where you are in your walk with the Lord and you ask yourself, what's next for me, you have some clear instructions for you. You have some very clear next steps for you, so you can begin taking those steps. Now, if you were here a couple of weeks ago, then you'll remember the first step that we talked about, the most important step, is surrendering your life to Christ as Lord. If you're here today and you've never taken that step, then that's the step that you need to take. Before you take any other step, the step of surrendering your life to the Lord is the most important step, because let's face it, at the end of the day, church membership is not what saves you. Church attendance is not what saves you. Serving is not what saves you. Giving your offerings, that's not what saves you. The only thing that saves us is a right relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so if you've never taken that first step of salvation by surrendering to Jesus, then my prayer is that today would be the day for you, that today you would take that first step. But maybe you're here and you would say, I've already taken that first step. What's my next step? That's what we're going to talk about today as we talk about the next step of baptism. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Acts chapter 8. We're going to look at verses 26 through 38 this morning. Acts chapter 8, 26 through 38. Now, as you're turning there, I want to set this up for you. And there are some important things before we get to the middle of chapter 8, there's some important things that we see to give us some context of what's going on here in the book of Acts. So, in Acts chapter 7, at the very end of Acts chapter 7, we see Stephen stoned to death for preaching Christ, stoned to death for his faith in Christ. Stephen is our first Christian martyr. And then at the end of or at the start of chapter 8, we see the Apostle Paul, prior to his salvation, prior to Paul's encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus, prior to his own life being changed, we see the Apostle Paul giving approval of the killing of Stephen. Then in chapter 8, we also see a man by the name of Simon. Simon was a sorcerer, and people in Samaria, they were amazed by this man. In fact, they called him the great power of God. And so what we see is just a lot of lostness, a lot of unbelief in the true power of the gospel before we get to our point in Scripture. But then a man named Philip came onto the scene. He comes to Samaria, and Philip was a Christ follower. He began to preach the gospel throughout Samaria. And we're told that when the people heard Philip preach the gospel, they turned from the lies of Simon the sorcerer, and they believed in the true power of God. And what we see is not only did they believe, but they also were baptized. Not only were they baptized, but we see Simon the sorcerer, he also believed, and in Acts 8:13, Simon was baptized as well. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. Everyone called Simon the great power of God until they heard about the true power of God, until they heard the true gospel, and they turned from this false power so that they could receive and know the true power. I want you to hear me this morning. There are a lot of things in this world that are false powers. They may offer a lot to us. They may offer a lot of false promises to us. But at the end of the day, they are not the true power. At the end of the day, they cannot provide for us what the true power of God, what the gospel can provide for us. They cannot provide us with true hope. They can't provide us with forgiveness. They can't provide us with salvation. They can't provide us with redemption. They can't provide us with that right relationship with the Father. They might offer us a lot of things, but they are a false power. And so to accept those things, to give ourselves over to those things, is to settle for a substitute. But I want you to hear me this morning. Don't settle for a substitute. Instead, be satisfied by the Savior. Would you, like the Samaritans, hear the true power of the gospel, that Jesus died, that Jesus rose again, and that anyone who calls upon the name of Jesus will be saved? Would you hear the true power of the gospel today? Turn away from these false powers and truly surrender to the true power of God. Now, you may be here and you may be a believer already, but this is what I know to be true. Even as believers, sometimes we go back and give ourselves over to false powers. And so I would encourage you, even if you've given your life to Christ, if there is a false power that you are following today, turn yourself back to the true power of Christ. Don't settle for a substitute. Instead, be satisfied by the Savior. So Philip preached the gospel. Men and women, as they heard the true power of God, they turned from their sins, they were saved, and they were baptized. It's here that we pick up in our passage this morning. So with that in mind, let's read Acts 8:26 through 38. It says, "An angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, 'Get up and go south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is the desert road.' So he got up and went. There was an Ethiopian man, a eunuch, and high official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to worship in Jerusalem and was sitting in his chariot on his way home, reading the prophet Isaiah aloud. The Spirit told Philip, 'Go and join that chariot.' When Philip ran up to it, he heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, 'Do you understand what you're reading?' 'How can I,' he said, 'unless someone guides me?' So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the scripture passage he was reading was this: 'He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who will describe his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. The eunuch said to Philip, "I ask you, who is the prophet saying this about, himself or someone else?" Philip proceeded to tell him the good news about Jesus, beginning with that scripture. As they were traveling down the road, they came to some water. The eunuch said, "Look, there's water. What would keep me from being baptized?" So he ordered the chariot to stop, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now, as we look at this passage, I want to begin by pointing out what we see in 26 and 27. In verse 26, we're told that the angel of the Lord said to Philip to go down the road from Jerusalem to Gaza. And at the start of verse 27, and this is what I want to highlight for you here, it says, "So he got up and went." Now, we may just pass by this without giving it much thought, but I want to point out Philip's immediate obedience to the Lord. If you're a parent, then you understand how significant immediate obedience can be. Because sometimes obedience can come with much hesitation. Now, I'm not going to throw my own kids under the bus, but I will throw myself under the bus here. So when I was growing up, one of my chores was mowing the lawn. And when I was a teenager, I enjoyed sleeping in on Saturdays. And usually sleeping in was till about noon or one in the afternoon, right? And so sometimes my dad would come in just at the break of dawn after the sun has come up, and he would tell me to get up and to go and mow the lawn. And I did not want to get up and go and mow the lawn. I wanted to sleep. After all, it takes effort to look this good, right? So I needed my sleep. And so I wanted to stay in bed, but my dad told me, get up and go mow the lawn. And after a lot of arguing and excuses, my dad would win, and I would have to get up and go mow the lawn. Now, there was a reason my dad wanted me to get up early and go mow the lawn. It's because if I had waited till I was good and ready to do it, I'd be mowing the lawn at the hottest and the hardest part of the day. And so my dad wanted me to mow the lawn in the cool of the day. But just like children might drag their feet or offer excuses when our parents tell us to do something, we might do this with the Lord. When the Lord gives us a command, when the Lord tells us to do something, we might drag our feet. We might offer excuses, much like the man that we talked about a couple of weeks ago, who when Jesus said, "Follow me," he said, "Well, I'll do it, but first let me go and bury my father." The tendency can be for us to say, we'll obey God, but only when we're good and ready to. But Philip didn't give excuses. Philip didn't say, "I'll do it when I'm good and ready." Philip simply got up and went. Philip responded immediately with obedience. Listen, you may be here today and you're a believer already. That's where you are in your walk with the Lord, or the mile marker that you're at in your walk with the Lord. You're a believer already, and it could be that God is calling you to obedience in some form or fashion. I would encourage you today, if that's you, obey God without hesitation. Whether you fully understand why God is calling you to or not, obey God without hesitation. When Philip obeyed God without hesitation, what we see is that he had the opportunity to share the gospel with the Ethiopian eunuch, and the Ethiopian eunuch came to know the Lord. He became a Christ follower. Philip didn't know why God was telling him to go down that road. He simply had the instructions from God, but that was enough. Let God's instructions for you be enough. Don't offer excuses. Simply obey God without hesitation. It could be that God is calling you to the very place that someone needs to hear the gospel, that they themselves might come to know him. So Philip got up and went, but now as we look at this encounter, I want to zero in on verse 36, and our 3 points are going to come from verse 36 today. Let me read it again to you right now. It says, As they were traveling down the road, they came to some water. The eunuch said, "Look, there's water. What would keep me from being baptized?" So there are three things that we see here in verse 36. First, we see a desire to follow Jesus. Now, we're not told the extent of Philip's conversation with the eunuch. All we're told is that Philip interpreted this passage from Isaiah for him, which was a clear prophecy about Jesus, and then he proceeded to share with him the good news about Jesus. Now, understanding the good news, and as we look at Scripture as a whole, we can infer some things. We can infer that Philip would have shared with him that the Ethiopian eunuch was a sinner, separated from God, that like all people, he had sin in his life, because Romans 3:23 tells us that we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so he was a sinner as well. It can also be inferred that Philip would have shared with him that because of his sin, he deserved death, because Romans 6:23 tells us, "For the wages of sin is death." Our sin deserves death. Death is what we have earned. Death is what we are owed. But Philip wouldn't have stopped there. Using this passage, Philip would have told him that Jesus was the one that was the sheep led to the slaughter. That Jesus was the one who was put to death in your place, in my place, in place of the Ethiopian eunuch. But Philip would have also continued. Philip would have shared with him that on the third day, Jesus rose up from the dead, conquering death and providing eternal life for any and all who believe. This is the good news. This is exactly what Philip would have shared with this eunuch. But clearly, because he desired baptism, Philip would have also shared that baptism is the picture. Baptism is the response that we have as a Christ follower to give evidence of our faith in Christ. And so the eunuch's desire to get baptized reveals more than just a desire to go through some religious motions. The eunuch's desire to get baptized revealed that he desired to follow Jesus and to give evidence of that desire in his life. But here's the reality, and this is what I know. We are all following something. Before the eunuch began following Jesus, he was following something as well. We're all following something. The question is who are you following? Who are you following? Are you following politicians? Are you following celebrities? Are you following the cultural whims of today? Or like many, are you simply following yourself and your own desires? Who are you following? And my prayer would be is that you would desire to follow Jesus just as much as the eunuch desired to follow Jesus on this day. And so I would encourage you, if you don't have that desire to follow Jesus, would you at least ask him, "Lord, produce in me a desire to follow you." So we see a desire to follow Jesus. Second, we see a desire to be baptized. The eunuch was very clear. He saw this pool of water, and he wanted to get baptized. Understand, if you have placed your faith in Christ and you have not yet taken that step of baptism, understand, baptism is the next step. Now, every week during my invitation time, I very clearly say baptism by immersion. Now, why do I clarify baptism by immersion? I understand that there are other traditions that practice baptism by sprinkling, and I don't want you to misunderstand me. If your heart was fully surrendered to the Lord when you were baptized by sprinkling, if that's you, then I don't want you to misunderstand me. I don't think you are any less of a Christ follower than any other Christ follower. But this is why we, particularly as Baptists, this is why we believe in baptism by immersion. This is why we believe that immersion is what God's Word calls us to. This is why Baptism by immersion is a prerequisite for our church, and it's this reason, because that's what baptism means. So the word baptism is actually a transliterated word. It comes from a Greek word, baptizo. And transliterated, it simply means that there wasn't an English equivalent for it. And so they created a word. Using the Greek word, they created an English word, and we get the word baptize and baptism. But in the culture at that time, anytime that word baptizo was used, it was always used in reference to immersion. In fact, the image, and I've shared this before, the image that we have, the image that people would have when this word baptizo was used was of someone doing dishes and plunging a dish all the way into the water, deep beneath the water. And so when the Ethiopian eunuch was asked, what would keep me from being baptized? Really, what he was asking was, why shouldn't I be plunged into this water? And so that's why we believe firmly in baptism by immersion. But I want you to think about this. They were traveling on a desert road when they came upon this pool of water. Now, I don't know much about deserts, but one thing that I do know about deserts is that typically what defines them is a lack of water. But here on this desert road, they come upon this pool of water. And so what I want you to see is that not only did God provide for this eunuch someone to come and share the gospel with him, but God also provided this pool of water so that he could respond obediently to the Lord. And so what this tells me, as we recognize that God provided the pool of water, what this tells me is that God takes baptism pretty seriously. And so I want you to hear me. If God takes baptism seriously, we should take baptism seriously too. And like the eunuch, as he was out on his chariot, we should see the opportunity to be baptized, and we should seize it. If God takes baptism seriously, we should take baptism seriously too. So we see a desire to follow Jesus, and we see a desire to be baptized. Finally, this morning, we see a desire to not wait. So as Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch came to this pool of water, the eunuch had a sense of urgency. He wanted to get baptized immediately, and he asked this question, what would keep me from being baptized? The New International Version says it this way, what can stand in the way of my being baptized? Now, as we think about this question, I want to turn it around and pose it to you now. What's standing in your way? What is keeping you from taking this obedient step of baptism? What's standing in your way? I want you to think about this. The Ethiopian eunuch was a high official of Candace. That's what verse 27 tells us. He was a grown man. He was in a high position. He was in charge of much. But none of those things prevented him from taking this obedient step of baptism. Now, I share this with you because I know that many times what can stand in our way, many times what prevents us from taking this obedient step of baptism is we think, man, baptism is just for kids. I'm an adult now. I'm a well-respected individual. What are people going to think if I go forward and if I take this step of baptism? What are people going to think of me? But I want you to hear me this morning. Baptism is not a child thing. Baptism is a Christ follower thing. Now, do we baptize children? Of course we do. We just baptized one at the start of this service. We do baptize children. We baptize anyone and everyone who places their faith in Jesus Christ as Lord, regardless of age, regardless of stature. I've seen young children place their faith in Christ and get baptized. I've seen middle-aged people place their faith in Christ and get baptized. I've seen people in their 90s place their faith in Christ and get baptized. You're never too young, you're never too old, because baptism, it's not a child thing. Baptism is a Christ follower thing. The Ethiopian eunuch, he didn't let his age, he didn't let his position, he didn't let his stature stand in the way of him being obedient to the Lord. And so I would encourage you, don't let anything stand in your way either. So we see obedience here, first beginning with Philip. Philip, obedient to the Lord and going to share the gospel with the eunuch. And then the eunuch's obedience to respond with a desire to follow Jesus, a desire to be baptized, and a desire to not wait. But I want you to understand, the only thing that would have prevented the Ethiopian eunuch from getting baptized, the only thing that would have stood in his way, is if he had not yet placed his faith in Jesus Christ. If he was just doing it as a religious motion. That's the only thing that would have stood in his way, and that's the only thing that would stand in your way as well. If you have never placed your faith in Jesus Christ, the first step for you is not baptism. The first step for you today is surrendering to Jesus as Lord. If you've never done that, then I'm going to give you the opportunity to do that right now. In just a moment, we're going to sing another song. And as we sing this song, this will be your opportunity to respond. And if you're here today and you've never taken that first step of salvation by surrendering to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, then I would invite you to respond this morning. I'm going to be standing right down front as we sing this next song. And I would invite you, come, let's talk, let's pray. Today, Jesus can be your Lord. But maybe you are here and you would say, you know what, I've been attending church for years. I've already placed my faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus is my Lord, but I've never taken that next step of baptism. Maybe you've allowed for excuses to stand in your way, but today you're ready to say, I want to be obedient to Jesus. I want to take this step of baptism by immersion. If that's you, then I would invite you to respond as well. I'd love to talk with you and pray with you. Today we can make that commitment together. Maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ. I've already been baptized by immersion. I've been visiting First Baptist Church Stockdale. I know God's calling me to make this my church home, to connect my life with this body of believers here, to be on mission with this body of believers here. If that's you, I would invite you to respond as well. I'd love to talk with you and pray with you. But whatever it is that God is calling you to do in these final moments, I would encourage you, obey without hesitation. Would you stand with me right now? Let's go to the Lord in prayer together.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of every service, I offer an invitation to respond, and I'd like to invite you to respond today. If you'd like to make Jesus Christ your Lord, or if you'd like information about membership here at First Baptist Stockdale, then head on over to fbcstockdale.org/respond. Your response will come directly to me, and I'll follow up with you this week. God bless you and have a great week.